Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquentonline.net in beautiful, very cold New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. We are going into our 8th year of broadcasting, and a happy new year to you and yours. In 2010, Operation Iraqi Freedom comes to an end. The United States and Russia were actually getting along, had a big breakthrough in arms control negotiations, and the U.S. Senate gave Ben Bernanke a second term as the chairman of the Federal Reserve. And this show started with 42 listens. Now it is the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Brought to you in part by XDI.com, X-Ray Delta India.com, Express Dad Incorporated. Hey, if you're self-employed, as I am, January is the month where you start harvesting all of those tax forms, and it's tax season. I saw the terrible H&R Block campaign with the madman guy. Some of y'all like that. I didn't like it. I didn't think it was good. But yes, it did remind me that it is tax time. I moved to Jackson Hewitt a couple years back. This lady, just awesome. I had my taxes prepared in 2010 at H&R Block. And the lady was basically, it's like she was advocating for the IRS. Well, are you sure you want to take that deduction? Are you sure you want to, you know, we all want to pay our fair share. I'm like, are you working for me or for the IRS? So the next year I went to a place called Jackson Hewitt, and the lady, just awesome. I call her my tax magician. So, so good at helping me avoid paying taxes. I mean, with deductions, legal deductions. But hey, it's that time of year. You're sending out interest statements to your members. You're emailing stuff. You're mailing it. XDI.com, Express Data Incorporated. Elegant, beautiful. And oh, by the way, economical. You might be spending too much on your statements and your e-statements and the folks that you have signed up to do that kind of stuff, because all credit unions outsource that kind of stuff. XDI.com, check them out. And it is the Power Performance. And as we go into 8 years, it is hard to believe, but we've had this ability to make it a multi-generational show. And the baby boomer perspective is embodied in the busy professional and personal life led by our good friend, Dr. Troy, who joins us, a long walk, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon up to Charleston, South Carolina. Happy New Year, Dr. Troy.
Happy New Year to you. So thank you.
I told the studio audience, if you called in, don't clap. They've missed you. They missed you more than me. Obviously, I told them not to clap when you called in. But you know what? You've got a PhD in global leadership. I have not been able to lead our studio audience effectively as a person who knows a thing or two about leadership. I guess you would have to say that the fault is on me, not the studio audience.
Let's not lay blame too much on where things are. We'll just take it as all part of the new year. Everything is going great. Everybody gets a fresh start. So we're having a fresh start, and they're having just a fresh clap. I mean, you know, how bad is
well,
that?
Well, I won't be too hard on them. I won't be too hard on them. So great to have you. I hope you had a great Christmas and a great new year.
Thank you. I did. It was a very good time of rest and reflexing. So that was I call it reflexing, because what I'm doing is relaxing and reflecting on the new year.
I like it. That's a good way of looking at it. I did too. I really did. I took that break. I think the last time we were on was, I think it was the 16th or 18th of December. Just kind of got disconnected from a lot of stuff. And it was really, really good. As you know, the person that we were going to have open the show, and you can relate to this as well as anyone, there are lots and lots of baby boomers taking care of lots and lots of parents. And our guest today has a 98-year-old father. And you can imagine, Dr. Troy, that has a whole different set of concerns that people have to tend to. And so he did have to tend to a family medical issue yesterday afternoon. And I mean, you're there.
Yeah.
You live that multi-generational life every single day.
Yes, and it is You know, part of really even with multi-generational families or just general families, even if it's just the two-generation family, I think it's important to understand the flexibility that individuals need to put into their, you know, into their processes. And I'll just stop for a second and say it's kind of like in a budget. You know, I think the problem that people have with budgets, first of all, is that they make them overcomplicated. And the other thing is that they don't create enough margin within the budget for those things that happen outside. Because generally when people begin to do a budget, they are so strapped for money that they, you know, they may even have more obligations than what they actually have income. And so therefore they don't understand how to get the margin. But the real thing about life and for what I find to be my advice to people in life, find ways to create margin within your life, even though you feel you may be so strapped that you can't get anything else done. And you have to be ready for the flexibility, because when you are dealing with multiple generations, there's a lot happening, a lot of dynamics occurring on a day-to-day basis.
No, absolutely. I know a few years ago, we really focused on the power of locality, that people do business with your credit union, South Carolina Federal Credit Union, because there's a branch on the way to the school or on the way to the grocery store or on the way from the movie theater and this kind of thing. And then I guess last year, I don't know if we had a real theme. We've always talked about generational stuff on the show. And next week, programming note, we're going to have TMG's Ashley McAlpine to come on from, she's from TMG, big payment processing company out of Des Moines, Iowa, talking about fraud prevention. You know, I am amazed at just how much time is spent on this. And as I've said a couple times, I think the only industry bigger than fraud is the fraud prevention that credit unions and community banks have to have at their brand. And you've talked about it before. You told me stuff about the EMV chip card that I didn't know about. You know, again, we thought that was going to be a fix-all. And I think credit unions continue to spend a lot of what you call intellectual capital on that issue.
They may or may not. That part I can't really speak to, you know, exactly. I think it's just an education process. And so really where the intellectual capital should be spent on is an education and really making sure that you understand the topic and helping to explain the topic.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, we'll talk to her next week. I was thinking about payment systems, and this is why I'm fascinated by payment systems. I'm fascinated by how people pay for things and how people get paid. And I was thinking about way back when I was in high school, I worked at the mall. And Dr. Troy, do you remember those old credit card machines where you would put the card down and you'd put the carbon thing over it and you would slide it back and forth?
Yes, I do.
I forgot what they were called, but they weighed like 60 pounds. And I was always fascinated by how does Visa get paid? Because, you know, we would put those in a little bank bag every night and drop it in the night deposit. And I was always like, how does Visa get paid? Because we just gave these people, you know, a bunch of shoes and stuff like that. And they didn't give us cash or a check. It was a Visa statement. I've always been fascinated by payment systems.
Yeah.
And so I like talking about that. There was something else. I did keep an eye on some stuff during the break, social media and stuff like that. And I saw some stuff from South Carolina Federal Credit Union. One of the things I do want to spend some time talking about in 2017, and I've made reference to it many, many times before, and that is the concept of what y'all call professional businessware. The fact that the employees at South Carolina Federal Credit Union, they all have a certain look, right? That light blue, that navy blue, the sweaters and the pants and stuff like that. Why don't more credit unions do that, Dr. Troy?
I think that to some degree, and these are the people that we have consulted with, so I can speak to what I know from the empirical information I've obtained in those conversations, is there is a lack of commitment overall from the leadership to really choose that direction and stick to it. They get hung up in the employees' conversation that they're not unique, or that therefore they're you know, they don't have individuality because they can't dress, you know,
right,
like they want.
But they can dress like they want when they're not at work. You don't tell people how to dress when they're not at work.
Right. And and the other thing is that they haven't fully understood the impact of the brand and controlling the brand. And so with that, so what we have created in this process and what we try to explain when we do some consulting work with companies is that the part of the brand wear, which is what we call it, is you could equate that to like the Disney costume.
Right.
So what do you want the Disney character to act like when Disney character is dressed as Snow White or as Goofy or as Pluto or as, any of the characters? You know, what's the character act like? So for us, a part of our process is that we have expectations of the behaviors that the individual, we call them blue behaviors, B-L-U-E, because they stand for bright, listening, understanding, energetic. And we've talked about that we've done some shows where we've mentioned that, and you've done a special series for us specifically where we were promoting those blue standards and blue behaviors. And so clearly we make sure that our employees understand that when you wear the blue, you are this. These are the behaviors that you have, and you adopt the core values. So the core values of the organization create the foundation, and then behaviors stem from those core values. So so we teach and we provide all of that, and it's integrated within everything that we do. In many cases, when we do some of this consulting with other credit unions, they think that just wearing – like they see you wearing the blue. They see it, and they go, oh, well, that's really cool. And they want to do it, but they don't want to do all the other pieces that go along with it in order to make it work.
Right.
All they wanted was to, like, go into a magazine and clip out a picture and then glue the picture on top of something else and go, oh, I now have a new picture.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't understand, like, what you had to go through in order to get the picture to begin with, in order to make that work. And there's another expression that we use at work, and that is that many times when you want things, you want trees, but you have to start with a seedling. Mm, and so we treat these concepts as seedlings. And sometimes the seedling isn't always just not present. It's inside the ground as the seed. Sometimes it is there is a stalk of a plant. But there's a difference between what we would consider a seedling and then what we would use in South Carolina as an example to say an oak, which is a majestic tree that has tenure, and especially if we reference the angel oak, which is supposedly 1,600 years old, then, you know, you kind of are going, yeah, I get what you want. I get what's happening here. And so, again, these concepts are people expect the tree. They expect the oak just when they say, oh, we're going to have everybody wear the same color. And they forgot that this whole process was germinated from the seedling conversation that actually took it somewhere else.
Well, I'm a big fan of it. And if I were – I never will be, but if I were ever in charge of a brand like South Carolina Federal, a big brand like that, I think it is a no-brainer. People stop at the grocery store on their way home. They go to football games and basketball games, best advertising. Again, locally, I think that you can do because people recognize the colors. People recognize the name. Hey, folks, we're going to take a quick break. Eight years of our eighth year of broadcasting. We'll be right back to wrap it up after this.
As we go into our eighth year of working on the radio show together, the one thing that Dr. Troy has always had and has inspired me with is loyalty. You can't put a price on loyalty. You can't quantify loyalty, but it's been a tremendous part of this time on the radio together.
Really a lot of fun. I mean, you know, we barb each other, you know, from time to time and things, but I really appreciate, because I think the one thing about you that I would say from a leadership character is that you are teachable.
Slow.
Point out, but you are teachable. And so, and although you love to rile up folks in the social media marketplace, kind of like that persona for you, and I know it makes people crazy to understand why I still associate with you when they think that we are such a contrast, we're the oil and vinegar, you know, of the salad dressing.
and vinegar of the credit union marketplace. His name is Dr. Troy Hall.
I love it.
Jason Dias.
I know it's a healthier us. You know, we're talking about oil and vinegar as a
That's
dressing.
Right.
We're not talking about ranch, you know, which has loaded calories or blue cheese. We're not that. We are the oil and vinegar.
Keep it light. Keep it flexible. Keep it moving. Folks, keep an eye out. NAFQ, their magazine, they did a story on the radio show that's coming out, I think, in their first – I think they do it every 2 months. So in early this year, check it out. That's going to be really cool. This was the other thing I wanted to ask you. When you hear that bump, obviously we've talked about how a lot of times you go out and help credit unions in your local area with strategic planning and, you know, take a day to kind of learn something new or to work on teamwork and stuff like that. What are some of the things that you think you'll continue to do in 2017 in that vein, helping folks out? I know you do some teaching and facilitating at one of the local universities. What's that going to look like for Dr. Troy in 2017?
Well, in addition to what it looks like to me, what it looks like to the organization is that, you know, we will continue our influence in the local marketplace, making sure that people realize that the credit union is much more than just a financial cooperative, but it is a financial cooperative investor in the success of the areas in which we operate. And so our goal is to continue to partner and to speak and to offer services not only to credit unions but to small businesses, to schools and universities, to charitable causes, to become an active participant in, you know, everywhere where we are. And so that's just, you know, part of what we believe is our core values, and we will continue to keep spreading that throughout. And then the role that I get to play based on my position is I have a lot more flexibility, so I have a lot more opportunity to work. And we have a subsidiary that we use, which is SCF Solutions LLC, and that subsidiary allows me the opportunity to speak and to consult with industries across the country. You know, who knows, maybe there'll be an opportunity to consult across the world, and we'll be able to expose that as it happens along the way.
Well, last year, I think one of my favorite moments, speaking of the world, is we are a global, Blog Talk Radio now shows you where people listen to the show. And they don't use the map of America. They use the globe, the flattened out version of the globe. I don't know who listened to us in Brazil, but I'm glad they did. But last year when we did the show with Natasha Kiprianidis from the Hellenic Bank out on the island of Cyprus, you know, 8,000 miles away, and the show sounded like she was sitting right there at South Carolina Federal HQ with you. And so very, very cool. Final thing before we get on out of here, one of the things I want to focus on in 2017 and defer to you and how this becomes part of a brand's culture is this. I see, and I could be wrong, I sometimes see people that want to place an equivalency on intentions and results. Well, that person tried real hard. Okay, but that person succeeded. Yes, but we can't forget about the person that tried real hard. Is that a generational thing with me, or do you see some of that in your own world of the credit union and consulting and elsewhere?
I think most of it is personality driven. It's part of the judgment system. You know, I think that each of us will use life experiences. If I talk about it from an academic standpoint, it would be, you know, you have certain implications or you have certain attributes, and those implications and attributes are created based on values that you assign based on experiences that you have in life. So there are some individuals who hold people more accountable, like their justice system or their system of fair play is a very high part of their component of their personality, and therefore those assessments are very keen and very important to them, and so that it becomes present when they speak. Almost everyone has a bias system that's built in on value. So to be able to say I have no biases is ridiculous. To say that I have no preferences would be ridiculous. I mean, you kind of spin that a little bit and to look at some of the discord that we have in our country today, it's the part is that the difference is this: those discords and biases that you have are, it's not about getting rid of them, it's about rendering them powerless. And the way to do that is to acknowledge those biases, acknowledges those differences, whatever those divides are, and don't allow them to control you, because when you do, then you become a victim. You allow circumstances to control you and not your character to control you. And one of the sayings that I have that's going into 2017 that's important is this: you cannot be a victor of your future if you are held captive by your past.
Nice.
Therefore, you cannot be able to move to a future that you can have and one that you are deserving to have if you are strapping yourself with those biases and prejudices of the past in the way in which they control you from a circumstantial standpoint. The way that they transcend is when you no longer give them power. You acknowledge them. I understand there's a cultural difference. I understand I don't like it this way. I understand I have that. But if you are, as we said in the bump, teachable, then you have an opportunity to achieve something that wasn't present to you before because you are ready to accept more information. So a whole lot more will come out in 2017 from me specifically on that. But that is the quote keeper for the day.
Got it.
And that is, you cannot be a victor of your future if you are held captive by your past.
Absolutely stone cold, spot on true. Conference quality information without the expense report and the overpriced airport food. His name is Dr. Troy Hall from the beautiful city of Charleston, South Carolina. Are you guys getting snow too? I heard there's a big snowstorm coming to the southeast.
There's snow, but I mean, if it's anything for us, it'll never hit the ground. So we're not seeing anything on our radar today that will tell us that there may be a flake or two that may come somewhere, but it's not going to materialize.
Awesome. And of course, another thing we're going to start doing next week is a special segment on whatever Dr. Troy's thinking about, Dr. Troy's take or Tough Talk and Troy. We'll figure all the details out between now and next week, or possibly in the few minutes before the show starts, because that's how we are. We're very flexible here at the radio show. You have no idea. Hey, listen, Dr. Troy, Happy New Year to you. And, you know, what you just talked about it a minute ago, that's why I'm glad we got 47 shows left in 2017, because they're will be a lot to talk about. You have a great, great weekend out there.
Thank you. You too, Moon.
Hey, everybody else. My name is Jason Dye, signing off from the studio of eloquentonline.net in beautiful, cold, overcast New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. Until next week, speak Dr. Twain. I'll talk to you all next week. Bye.
That's all, folks.